Did y'all hear that? There's always a group of people that want Jesus to stay, and that's going to be us. It don't matter what anybody else does around here. As long as I'm here at New Vision, I want him to stay. I want him to be here. I want his presence to be here. Amen? And so I want you to look at this. In verse 40, it says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting on him." So he just got run out of the Gadareans, and now these people are waiting to see him. Verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue." That means he was the one that was over the services. He was a leader there. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, or he begged him, he pleaded with him. It says that he pleaded with him and besought him that he would come to his house. "For he had a daughter, an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." Now, I want you to notice something. We've been talking about, the Lord gave us that word last week about being desperate. We talked about that. Are we desperate? And then Anita posted something about being desperate. And that word keeps popping up. But I can promise you, if you've got a child, and your child was 12 years old, and your child was getting ready to die, your child was dying, and you'd done everything you know to do, and you heard about a man that could do something about it, and you went to him, and you got his attention, I believe you'd be desperate, would you not? I believe Jairus was desperate. I don't believe he cared about the Jewish tradition. I don't believe he cared about what the priest said about Jesus or anybody else said about Jesus. And that's where we got to get to. We got to get to the place where we don't care what anybody says about Jesus. We know him. We know who he is and what he's done, and we trust him. We don't care what anybody else says. Amen. I see a bunch of mess on Facebook and other places, people that call themselves Christians that are absolutely ignorant. They just are. I'm just going to call it like it is. They're ignorant to the Word of God. They teach things that don't go along with the Word of God. It don't bother me that they do that. It bothers me for them, but it ain't going to shake my faith. I know who Jesus is. Amen? And Jairus was desperate. And it says his only daughter that was 12 years old was dying. In verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could she be healed of any." They couldn't do any good to her. It says in verse 44 that she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. Now, this is what I want you to know. I entitled the message "Unclean." I don't know because it went with what we talked about last week or not. I don't know. But I know that the Lord had showed me some things, and we're going to get to it at the end. But I want you to know that this woman was unclean. For 12 years, she couldn't have a relationship with a man. For 12 years, she couldn't get around nobody. She had to be away from everybody, just like the one that had leprosy. She had to let them know she was unclean because she was. Nobody was supposed to touch her. And she wasn't supposed to touch anybody else. And here you got Jesus right in front of her. And she says in Mark chapter 5, I'm not going to go to that, but if you want to go read Mark chapter 5, it's a little twist, a little different twist to it. Mark says that she said within herself that if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. Yeah, y'all need to listen to me. Faith gets Jesus' attention. Faith gets God's attention. We can come to church 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and we can come in here and do our little church thing. But when we activate faith, that's when we get Jesus' attention. Hallelujah, preacher. Just preach me silly. Faith activates Jesus to move. You can pray all day long, and if you don't have faith behind your prayer, you're just talking. I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. The Lord's pricking my heart about this thing. And this woman was unclean. She was not supposed to go touch Jesus. She wasn't supposed to be around anybody. And it says she pressed through the crowd. That's one thing I've always said. Glenn has heard me say it many times, and church has. You get a woman that's desperate, and you got something. Oh, you three of y'all women said amen. You get a woman desperate, and buddy, you got something. And this woman was desperate. She was just like a Jairus. Jairus was desperate too. And it says she came behind him, and she touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" This is funny right here. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, they when all denied, everybody said, I didn't touch you. I don't know what you're talking about. Peter said this. They said, Master, the multitude is thronging around you. Everybody's pressing around you. And you asking us who touched you? How in the world are we supposed to know who touched you? Look at all these people around you. There's a lot of people touch you. But there's a different touch that this lady had than anybody else. I've seen services just like this one, to where everybody was happy and everything, maybe, but one person was desperate and they got touched. We've seen it in revival. Same people hear the same message, same people hear the same songs, but there's something about that one that's desperate, and Jesus hears it, and he knows it, and he comes down and does something about it. Jesus knew that somebody touched him. I hope that we touched his heart this morning through worship. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive or I know that virtue has gone out of me. In other words, he said, somebody different touched me. Because this person touched me, had faith to believe that I could do something about their situation. We've got to have faith to believe that Jesus can do something about our situation. Listen, I want you to love New Vision. I want you to love me and my wife and everybody else here, the staff, the elders. I want you to love, but I can't do nothing about your situation like Jesus can. I can't help you like Jesus can. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. He, Jesus, not New Vision. I'm not the author and the finisher of faith. I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to try to help you and encourage you and teach you and all this stuff. But Jesus is your helper. He's the one. He give us Holy Spirit. He's the one that helps you. Amen. He's the one you need to touch. Verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she knew, buddy, something's up. You know, he knows something. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was helped immediately. Can you imagine what a powerful testimony? Listen, those people knew who she was. For 12 years, she'd been around in that area. For 12 years, she went to all these doctors. Everybody knew who she was. Matter of fact, she was probably just like the guys that were lepers, that she stayed away from them. I mean, they stayed away from her. They didn't want to get around her because she was unclean. She was unclean. She was deemed unclean by the law. And Jesus wasn't supposed to touch her either. And listen to what he says in 48. I love this. And he said unto her, get away from me, you filthy person. You're not supposed to be around me. You know what the law said. The law says that you're unclean, so stay away from me. That's what the church does. That's what the church does. The church looks at people that's got problems. The church looks at the homosexual. I'm going to say it. Y'all better listen to me. The church looks at the homosexual, the bisexual, the transsexual, the every other sexual garbage they got going on. I don't even know what they do now. We look at the homeless. We look at the ones that's got divorced in the church. Oh, hallelujah. We look at the ones that come in a little bit different, dress a little bit different, talk a little bit different, walk a little bit different. And we say, I ain't going to mess it down. Oh, you may not say it like that, but if you don't go to them, if you don't love on them, then you're saying it.
That's right.
We are called to love everybody. We ain't called to pick and choose who we love. And we ain't called to pick and choose who we help. Now, they some that I don't help because I know they scamming and I don't mess with them. And I call them out. Hey, man, I tell them I'm praying for them. And I do. When I get off the phone, I pray for them. If they don't hang up before I can, I'll pray for them on the phone. Y'all ain't getting that. But I want you to understand. He called her daughter. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort or be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Can you imagine how she felt? I bet you she didn't have to worry about parting the ways. Because I bet when she took off running, and I'm sure she was running. Ain't nothing wrong with running in the church. Ain't nothing wrong with running in the street. I promise you, when that woman realized she was healed and Jesus blessed her and said, daughter, called her daughter, said, go your way in peace. I bet you she took off running. I bet you there wasn't nobody in her way. And I bet you nobody didn't bother after it was over with either. Can I tell you something? I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a little while. But some of you feel like you ain't been cleaned up right. Maybe you ain't been cleaned up as good as somebody else. If you ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and you ask him to forgive you your sins are gone. You're just as clean as anybody else. You may be struggling with a few things. Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself. And look at verse 49. Now, let me go back just a second. Now, if I'm Jairus and my daughter's landed dying, and then this woman comes and does it, I'm going to get an attitude towards this woman like, hey, you stopping him from being at my house. We can't do that, church. We got to let Jesus touch who he wants to touch, when he wants to touch him, and how he wants to touch him. He'll touch you when it's time to touch you. I remember when John Kilpatrick prayed over Pastor Bill, and Pastor Bill hit the floor, and John Kilpatrick hit the floor. The first thing I thought was, I was selfish. I said, man, I ain't gonna get prayed for. But I did. God changed my life that day. And it says this, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the rulers of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master anymore. Can you imagine what Jairus thought? See, in Jairus' mind, listen to me, because I'm a father. In Jairus' mind, if I can get this man to my house, my daughter's going to get healed. But he just got the words that she's dead. How come, why is it that when we hear the word somebody's dead, that we don't think God can do another miracle? God still raises the dead. And I ain't just talking about spiritual dead. We seen him raise the dead right back there on the floor. When I went up to Tennessee, the week before I went to Tennessee, a man dropped dead in their church and God raised him from the dead. God's still raising the dead. I've told y'all this before. I can't wait to get the phone call from Warlick's and Kevin say, Pastor Scott, I don't know what happened, but some of your church members up here, somebody back here, we done embalmed them and everything. They're up here walking. What in the world? Don't tell me God can't do it. We need to get lined up. Hallelujah. And then it goes on and says, verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him and he said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And Mark, it says, just have faith. Just have faith. Verse 51, and when he come into the house, he suffered no man to go in with him save Peter, James, and John. That was his inner circle. And the father and the mother of the maiden. Now watch this. And all wept and bewailed her. They were crying over her, lamenting over her. And it said, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but she's sleeping. Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. Now, she was dead. Listen, there's two things you need to know. The facts is she's dead. That's the facts. That's the fact, Jack. She's dead. She ain't breathing, she's dead. But the truth is, Jesus knows that she's just sleeping because he's getting ready to raise her from the dead. Oh, see, the fact is some of y'all got some mess going on. That's a fact. People tell me all the time when somebody says they're sick, don't confess you're sick. Don't confess you're sick. Well, you dang goofball, I'm sick. If I'm sick, I'm sick. That's the fact. That's a fact. But the truth is Jesus is my healer, and I'm believing Jesus to heal me while I'm sick. Some of y'all are so silly. You walk around with Kleenexes in your pockets, blowing your nose, snot running out your nose, passing bacteria all over everybody, snotting and sneezing and everything. I ain't sick. Yeah, you're sick and you're silly. The fact is you're sick, but the truth is Jesus wants to heal you. Anyway, that's a whole nother message. I'm going to go on. Goodness gracious, people are a trip. Anyway. Y'all good? Look at your neighbor and say, if you come to get a Tickle Me Elmo, you come to the wrong place. And listen, it says, after Jesus come in and said she's sleeping, they laughed at him. It says they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They knew she was dead. They knew she was dead. The fact is she's dead. But they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know what Jesus could do. I wonder that about the church a lot. I get phone calls and I'm thinking, while I'm on the phone, y'all look at Glenn and sometimes I'm like, Have you been sitting in my church this long and you ain't heard me preach? You ain't heard me preach about faith? You ain't heard me preach about speaking to your storm? You ain't heard me preach on calling those things that are not as though they were? You ain't heard me preach on Jesus, my healer? You heard right here. And I'm like, quote the word. Quote the word. Speak to your devil. Speak to your mountain. Amen. Some of y'all doom and gloom as soon as something starts, man. You have no faith whatsoever. Don't get mad at me. I'm trying to help you. Boy, it's quiet in here now. That made everybody mad. I'm glad we done took the offering up. If you didn't give, we'll take your money too. Just give it to us when you leave. Verse 54. So he put them all out. I love this about Jesus. He run them out. I've literally done that before. I've been in a hospital room with people I knew didn't have faith. And I looked at them straight in their eyes and I said, look, I'm getting ready to pray in faith. Do you believe? Well, if it's God's will, leave. Love you, leave. I've seen God absolutely heal people in the hospital rooms. I've seen people die. I pray for people and they've died, and I pray for people and they've been healed. That's up to God. But I'm still going to pray in faith, and I'm still going to believe in faith. Amen? And I let God separate the two. But Jesus run them all out. Why? Because they had unbelief, and he didn't want to be around it. And it says here, and he put them all out, and he took her by the hand. He was not supposed to do this. You know why? Because she's unclean. The woman with the issue of blood was unclean, wasn't supposed to touch anybody. And now this little girl's dead. She's unclean, and Jesus wasn't supposed to touch her. How many of you know Jesus ain't afraid to touch somebody unclean? He ain't afraid to touch somebody unclean. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. I'm ready to busting at the seams to get to that. And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand, and he called her, saying, Maid, arise. Verse 55, and her spirit came again. She was dead. Her spirit left her body. Your spirit does not leave your body until you're dead. It don't hover around anybody and waiting for a few minutes or nothing. No, when you take your last breath, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if you're lost, to be absent from the body is to be present in hell. There ain't no purgatory. There ain't no hanging in between until somebody pays you out and prays you out. No, you die, you take your last breath, you done. And you're waiting a judgment day. Amen? Y'all good? It says the spirit came in her again and she arose straightway and he commanded to give her something to eat. He says, feed that girl, she's skinny. I'm just teasing, but he said, give her something to eat. She's hungry, give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them. Now listen to this. He charged them that they should tell no man what it was done. Now how in the world are you going to do that? I'm not sure I could have kept that. I said, okay, Jesus, we good. How are you going to keep that quiet? I know why, because we know the word. We know why it wasn't his time. We know why he told her that, but I bet you they didn't do it. I bet you they didn't have to do it. You know why? Because in all them people that was crying, he run them out, came back in, and they saw her. They knew something was up. So anyway, there you go. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about today. Being unclean. You know what I believe that the Lord showed me this week? After my message last week, I was thinking about my message last week, and I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of people in the church, they ain't going to stand up and yell, I'm unclean, but they feel like they're unclean. In the church, ain't talking about the world, they are unclean. They've got sin in their life, and they're lost. They don't know Jesus, and so they're unclean. But there's people in the church that wrestle and fight with being unclean. You say, oh, how you get that? I want to write down. I wrote down a few things. I want to go through this. And I put unclean thoughts. That's the number one thing that holds Christians back from being what God has called them to be is your unclean thoughts. You say, I ain't got no dirty thoughts. I ain't talking about pornography or nothing like that. I'm talking about stinking thinking. Okay? Now watch this. Now don't nobody yell out and shout out. And you say, how do you know this? Because I struggled with these very same things before. I don't now. God's healed me of that. And he set me free from this. But this is what people in the church, and I'm sure people in here, some of you, have said. Well, how can God use me? Because if they knew my past. Some of y'all still worried about your past. Who gives a rat's behind about your past? Besides the devil, y'all poke your neighbor and wake them up. I'm getting ready to throw a bottle of water. I didn't pray and believe God and come in here and pray like crazy and want God to move and you be snoring away. You wake up and you can sleep when you get home. I love you in Jesus' name. And I ain't done this in a long time, so don't nobody fuss at me. But you need to wake up. If I'm boring, then you get you another preacher. And if you're just tired, I understand that, but I'm lovingly asking you to wake up because I'm about to flip. Listen to me. Some of you, that's why you don't let God use you. Well, what if they find out what I did? Who cares what you did? This is what you need to understand. When you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and you really mean it from your heart, guess what? He forgave you of all your sins. Whether man forgives you or not, it don't matter as long as he's forgiven you. When I first got saved, I went to the altar all the time. And my mama came to me one day, and some of you have heard this, but some of you hadn't, but you're going to hear it again. My mama came to me, and she said, Scott, why do you go to the altar every single service? You go to the altar every single service. She said, I know you live right. And I said, I cussed God one time. And I did. I cussed God one time. And every time I was in church, the devil reminded me of me cussing God. And he said, you can't be forgiven. And my mama looked at me and she said, do you believe the word? I said, yes. She said, well, does he not say if you ask forgiveness that he forgives you your sins and he takes them and casts them as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again? So why are you hanging on to your past? Well, I messed up since I've been in church. Who hadn't? If you hadn't, God bless you. Hail Mary to you, whatever they say. God bless you. If you're looking for a perfect preacher, just leave now. Now, I live right, and I practice what I preach. What I am right here, I am at the prison, I am at the grocery store, I am fishing or hunting or wherever else. But I'm human, and I can mess up because I deal with crazy people. I deal with some real crazy people. I'm looking at now. Listen to the next one. I'm not worthy for the Lord to use me. Oh, Glenna is or Derek is, but I'm not worthy. I've done so much in my past, there's no way to. You are exactly the one God wants to use. You're exactly the one God wants to use to help others get away from what you were doing. Amen? And this is a good one right here. Well, I failed the last time I tried. I was trying to serve the Lord. I was trying to do this, and I failed. So I'm afraid that if I do it again, I'm going to fail again. Well, guess what? You might do it. As a matter of fact, you probably will. But praise God, that's what Jesus does. He restores us. Now, I'm not saying go out and live wrong and just fail just because you can fail. People that teach that stuff, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for what they teach. I don't believe you can live any way you want to live and do anything you want to do and you're okay. I don't believe that. He's not going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, to somebody live like a dog. I don't care what your preacher says. If you ain't serving God and living for God, I don't believe you're going to heaven. That's just the way I believe. Here's the last one. Surely Jesus could never use me. I'm not qualified. If you think that, hallelujah. Because ain't none of us qualified. Ain't none of us qualified. I asked somebody the other week, they said, I said, what qualifies you to serve God? Because your preacher said you was good enough? Because you took a few courses and you went to seminary, whatever you call it? That qualifies you? I'm going to tell you what qualifies you is you saying, I'm willing to serve. Here I am, Lord, send me. That's what qualifies you. So some of you need to quit acting so unclean. How dare you, like Jesus told Peter on the rooftop, how dare you, Peter, to call something unclean that I call clean? How dare you to call yourself unclean when Jesus says you're clean? Who are you going to believe, you or him? Quit letting the devil beat you up. That's the number one thing. I wrote it right here. That is the number one thing that stops a Christian from doing God's will is not listening to what Jesus said. He told a woman at the well, go and sin no more. He told several others to go and sin no more. I'm not giving you a license to sin, but I'm telling you, you need to quit listening to the enemy and you need to get busy serving Jesus. There's plenty of places to serve Jesus. Amen. You say, you talk about that a lot, preacher. You know why? Because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the number one thing we're supposed to do is serve the Lord. You say, well, I take care of my family. Good. That's part of it, too. But if all you think you do is taking care of your family, you ain't taking care of the family of God, you ain't serving Jesus, then you got a lot to answer for. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes standing before Jesus. Amen? Are y'all good? I don't want to see you saying you're unclean no more. I don't want any of you call me and say, well, preacher, you just don't know what I did. It don't matter. I don't need to know what you did. I mean, if it's a testimony, that's fine. But if you're going to go back and you're going to keep digging up dead bones, then I'm not about that. I'm about resurrecting bones. Amen. Y'all stand with me. I believe that's good enough. If you get that right there, we're going to be good. Amen? Don't you call unclean what the Lord calls clean. Y'all bow your heads with me. I'm going to say it again. Don't you call unclean what the Lord calls clean. The Word of God says what the enemy meant for harm, God will turn it around for good. Your testimony is just that. It's your testimony. It's what God's brought you through. Revelation says they overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their life even unto death. Jesus says that when I forgive you and I take your sins away, they're gone. Believe his word. Quit listening to the enemy. God's got great things for you. Listen to me. God's got great things for you. He wants to use you in a mighty way. Let him use you. Quit worrying about what you did in the past. If you've asked forgiveness, if you hadn't asked forgiveness, you need to ask forgiveness. But if you've asked forgiveness, move on. That's just the devil bringing it up. That's condemnation. That's not conviction. And I'm going to share this little tidbit too. Just because you hadn't forgot it don't mean you hadn't forgiven it. You can forgive people that's hurt you and wounded you and done terrible things to you without forgetting it. Now, God can take that from your memory, and praise God, I pray that he does. But if he don't and you still remember, it doesn't mean you hadn't forgiven them. You walk in freedom, amen? God, I ask you to bless your people. And as we take this time to pray, Lord, I'm asking you to move on the hearts of those that feel unclean, that you would show them that we're clean by your blood. Your blood is what cleanses us. It's not our righteousness. It's not what we do. It's what you've done for us on the cross. And God, I ask you in Jesus' name to pour your spirit out. Listen, church, as we sing this, I want you to prepare your hearts. I want you to receive what the Lord's wanting to do in your life. If you think you're unclean and you've asked forgiveness, then that's the devil. I want you to ask the Lord to help you. The Bible says we read the word and renew our mind. I want you to ask the Lord to help renew your mind, to get the stinking thinking out and to think about the things that God would have you to think about. Faith activates the hand of God. Faith activates the hand of God. So you let him move in your life. As we sing, these altars are open. You can come. If you're not saved, please, I beg you, I beg you, give your life to the Lord. Come up here and let us pray with you. We'll help you the best we can. But Jesus is the one that saves you. If you got things you need to pray about, you come on and let the Lord move in your life. Christians, pray. Jesus, move by your Spirit. Come on, don't wait. Let Holy Spirit do a work in your life this morning. In Jesus' name.
I see shattered.
Move, Lord.
You see whole.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I see broken. But you see beautiful.
Hallelujah. Move, Lord.
And you're helping me.
Yes.
To believe.
Thank you, Lord.
You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating, beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny. Oh, 'cause you're restored. Nothing to daddy that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. I am clean. There's nothing to daddy that you can't make worthy. You wash me. Sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean, I am clean because of you, Lord. Oh, washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Oh, there's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy.
Hallelujah. love that song. I was in my office a couple years ago. I think it's been about 2 years ago or so. And I was studying, and Karen beat back there. She said, "I'm going to send you a song." And I was like, "Man, I'm in the middle of this." And I started listening to that song, and about 2 hours later, me crying, laying on the floor like a little baby, thinking about how God had cleaned me up, how God had saved me, restored me, and blessed me with what I have. There's nothing too dirty. I want you to understand it. There's nothing too dirty that He can't make worthy. Amen. Father, I love you and I honor you, and I thank you for those that have responded. God, thank you for those that maybe sat back and wanted to come forward and they didn't. I just pray that you'd pour your blessing out on them, Lord. Show your mercy to them, Lord. Show them that once we're forgiven, it's over with. It's nothing but the devil bringing things up if we've asked forgiveness. We honor you. I honor you for moving. I just ask you to bless those in here, Lord. Help us to love those others don't love. Reach those others deem unreachable. Equip the saints to do the work of the gospel and be found faithful when you come back, Jesus, because we know you're coming back. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. Go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. Love you guys.